Yeah. I just want to say it's good to be here tonight. They give me a load at Hot Springs out of Alabama. And I was thinking, I was going down the road, I said, well, I can't make it before they close. So I was just putting along about 55, and then I thought, well, today's Wednesday. I thought, today's Wednesday. I'm going through Little Rock. Whoa. I said, God, you're so good to me. You ever feel like God's your best friend? You ever just feel like he does things just on purpose for you? And I tell you what, I don't deserve it. But you know what? It's like giving God the honor and praise. That song. Talking about he's the greatest. I wake up every morning and say, God, you're the greatest. And that's the truth. He is the greatest. But you know what? You can have friends in this life. I consider all of you folks my friends. I feel like you're my friends. You're my brothers and my sisters. And you're great. And that's not running you down for me to say Jesus is our best friend. It's not running you down. And I don't mind you saying Jesus is your best friend either with me standing there, because I know I can't compete with a master. I cannot do it. I never died for anybody. Maybe one day. And I hope I had the same attitude Jesus had when he... And you know what? I read through history where people did lay their lives down. And they didn't have to fight these people. They didn't have to get them in a headlock, twist their arm up behind their back, you know, and force them to their demise. These people, I read a book, I can't remember what the name of it was, about some of these women that put on their finest dress. You know, they'd tell them, hey, we're going to execute you. You know, and they'd bury them alive. They'd put on their finest dress. And they'd walk down there willingly, lay down in the box. You know, when you're dying for somebody that died for you, you don't mind. When you know he's your best friend. I started to say a while ago, as friends, you know, you can get things out of people as your friends that you can't at gunpoint. I think I've said this before. Y'all forgive me. It seems like I say the same thing every time I get up and talk. But you can hold a gun on somebody. Tell them, give me all your money. And, you know, if you held a gun on me, I might reach in my pockets and give you my money, but you better watch me. You turn your back, it might be bad. But on the other hand, if you was my friend, and I knew you had proved beyond a shadow of a doubt you was my friend, you'd been over backwards for me, done for me again and again. And you came up to me, Paul, I need every penny you got. I'd reach in my pocket willingly and give you every penny I got. Here, take it. You wouldn't have to watch me. I wouldn't attack you. Wouldn't be even in my thought pattern. And that's the way it is with Jesus. He's our best friend. In the Old Testament, he wanted people that were willing and obedient. That's the ones he wanted. I like to think I'm one of them. I'd like to join ranks with the people that are willing and obedient. Because I know we will eat of the good of the land. The good of the land. God's got all kinds of blessings. Well, even now, I thank God every day he gives me something good. Oh, I can't even get on my knees and pray for myself because he's blessed me so much. What can you say? It's almost like, God, thank you. Thank you, God. You're so busy saying thank you, you ain't got time to ask him for another favor. He done gave you too many, like in my case, too many already. But, of course, he wants us to ask when we need. He wants us to. And I want to be willing to ask. I want to be willing. But I just want to thank him, too. I was riding down the road thinking, God, you're too good to me. You're too good to me. I just wanted to gather with you folks. Not that I had anything great to say. I just wanted to feel that wonderful feeling. I feel it every day anyway, but I just wanted to feel it with y'all. I just wanted to walk in here and just feel it with y'all. Just come in here and say, God, you're so good. You know, Brother Smith tells us, we can feel God's, that wonderful spirit as a group, greater than we can by ourselves. I feel it pretty great a lot of times by myself. more than I can handle. And I don't deserve it. But when I gather with God's people, I say, God, thank you. Thank you. Now, I know we're going to lose our freedom in time. And I'm kind of a rebel. I don't even want to tell you folks how many laws I break on a consistent basis. I don't want y'all knowing. Brother Smith keeps talking about being able to read thoughts and discernment of spirit. Brother Smith, forgive me for praying this, but I say, God, not now. Wait a while. I don't want it now, you know. And not for me. I don't want Brother Smith having it. I don't want any rest of you brothers having it either. I don't want them knowing what's in my mind. There's too much up there, too much litter, too much trash. You know, have you ever felt like you needed a clean house? You ever just need to clean them rooms out? Just go down the hallways taking stuff out, just throwing it out the window, just throwing it out. Out of the rooms. Only a clean house for our Savior. Then you can have that discernment spirit with Smith. Then I'll pray, God, give it to him. Give it to him. Anybody else up there that wants it? Yeah. But you know, God, a friend is one who knows all about you and loves you anyway. Loves you anyway. Jesus, whether Brother Smith or any rest of you brothers can read my mind, Jesus can, and he still loves me anyway. And I thank him for it. I thank him. He's a friend. He's a friend. He's a friend. I love him today. I appreciate our Savior. The fact that he died on the cross for our sins, you know, and Brother Smith keeps coming up with him. That's another thing. Brother Smith, forgive me for calling your name so much. But these wonderful truths that we keep hearing, it's like sitting down to a table and just eating and eating. And it's not something you can take out yonder and share with people because they look at you funny. But it is something you can think about going down the road. It's something you can think about on a daily basis. I listen to ministers on the radio. And they say a lot of good things. But those wonderful, deep things, it's not there. And I'm not saying it to run them people down. They do say a lot of good things. But these wonderful, deep things, I say, God, excuse me, that song, Who Am I, that a king would bleed and die for. And then who am I that I would hear these wonderful truths? Who am I that God would bless me so much? One more thing to thank him for. When I get on my knees, say, God, you're too good to me. You know, what can you say when somebody's so good to you? You don't want to leave them. You don't have, not that I've been tempted any time lately, but what, you don't want to leave people or leave a Savior that's so good to you. Oh, that's the point I was going to make a while ago. If someone's your friend, you'll just do anything for them. You know, you just do anything for them. Anything. And that's what our Savior has done for us. And that's what we need to do for him. Or that's what I want to do for him. I want to do it for him. He's too good to me. Lets me feel that wonderful feeling every day. Come up here and be in church. And I love that. I love that. God's good. God is so good. He's our best friend. What can we say? Can't say anything any different.
Able to make it about 2 o'clock today. I didn't think I would be here. My energy level is like a yo-yo. It's up and down. Yesterday I was so energetic, and today I didn't have much energy. About two, I don't shave but twice a week, and I hadn't shaved since Saturday, and 2 o'clock I thought, I don't feel like shaving, getting ready to go to church. But then about 2:30 my energy level kicked in, so I'm glad I got motivated to come, because I was feeling lack of motivation. But, you know, I wasn't born into this, and I didn't choose to be in this. I'm kind of like Brother Daniels. I got drafted into this. I got pressured into this, because when Brother Tucker's brother invited me, I tried to wiggle out of it. And I didn't know I was going to come into a special place, you know. I'm glad, looking back, I know God had his hand in it. I know that, you know, next to getting the Holy Ghost, back when I was 20 years old, I guess when I got my eyes open to the body of Christ. That was probably the second greatest thing. But anyway, I was, like I say, I was drafted into this, and I'm glad I'm here. But it didn't take me long until I was here. I didn't know where I was getting invited to the body of Christ, you know, because I'd seen religion and I wasn't interested in anything else. But it wasn't very long, maybe the first, second time I was here, that I realized that this was different. And, you know, I was once in a non-denominational Pentecost church. It was in Conway. It was called the Tabernacle of Truth. You know, that's a good name for a church, but the truth wasn't there. So, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of churches here in town that claim they have the truth, but we want to find the truth about the truth. And so, I'm just thankful that God led me this way. And you know, like you go out to a restaurant and you've got different choices, and here in Little Rock, it's like restaurants. You got all these different churches, but anyway, I know we've got the best menu spiritually of any church in town. If I didn't believe that, I would leave here and never come back. But anyway, you know, you think about what motivates you to come. So it's good to be with God's people, and it's good to feel the Spirit of God, and it's good to hear the truth of the Word of God. But one time, Brother Tucker, he said something about us having a selfish motive in coming to church. And so, you know, if it's selfish to want to be saved, then I'm selfish. He said we got a selfish motive in wanting to come, but I don't want to have to go to sleep and never wake up. You know, Woody Allen, the comedian, the movie producer, one time he said, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. I'll be there when it happens, and you'll be there when yours happens too. But no way of not being there when it happens. But anyway, two men were talking about their dealings with the Lord, and one man said, "Is Jesus your? Is he where you've got some of your stock?" And he said, "No, I've got all of my stock in Jesus, not just some of it." So anyway, we sure have had a good spirit here tonight, and I'm thankful I got motivated to come, because like I say, about 2 o'clock, I didn't think I'd be here. So it's good to be here.
I went to 2 church services, Lake Jackson and at Humble, but the airport, forget it, that's another story. Oh my goodness, Philip asked me, what did I learn from this trip? I said, trust, faith, and humility. And believe me, I mean, I was tested in all three. And the first, humility was, I mean, I remember, guys, I have not flown since 1991. I didn't realize. Nobody told all of you people. Shame on y'all for not telling me. Y'all flown. What they do to you. Oh, my goodness. They threw all my stuff away. You know, hairspray and cologne and everything. And took my shoes off and turned me in circles. And then they made me do their suitcase twice. And they went in. Somebody said, they were not supposed to do that. I said, they did me. They had my clothes thrown all over the floor and everything. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I kept picking them up and putting them in there. And in the meantime, I called Philip. I said, Philip, this is not it. Anyway, I was just like, I was scared. And I was, you know, frustrated. And I said, well, maybe I better not go, you know. But no, I've come too far. I better go on. God worked it out where I could go. So I just kept on, went on through. I thought, okay, that's the worst, which it was at that in Little Rock. And I went on. That was the most bumpiest ride. I'm talking, it's more comfortable in a car or bus than that airplane ride. And I remember back in 19, when I was working deluxe, they sent me to Mexico to be an interpreter. That was a pretty lumpy ride, but this one was worse. And so I made it there in Houston and had to wait. I got there at 2:30, but I didn't get to Lake Jackson till 5:30 because of the, they delayed. I don't know. I can't even remember that part. But anyway, my cousin was there to pick me up, went to the straight to the church, and then for the viewing. And then when I come back, that was when it was bad. When I was on my way back from Houston to Dallas, it was a very smooth ride. I was like, oh, my goodness, it didn't even feel like I was flying. So then I got to Dallas at 2 o'clock, and I go, okay, at 3:40, I will be in Little Rock. Yay. Wrong. I'm talking about we were playing musical gates. They changed me 4 different gates. They kept upping the flight. Okay, we can't fly out. The flight's been moved up to a certain time, whatever time it was at the time. And I'm talking about, I think I went through the whole airport in a train. I mean, it wasn't me either. This person helped me. She was so nice. And I promised her I'd go see her. She's some kind of manager at Cheddar's. And she took me to the train. I mean, she knew everything. She said she flies all the time. I said, okay, I'm coming. And I was following her. And, oh, my legs were hurting so bad. But I wasn't complaining. I just kept on and got in the, like a monorail, I guess, all the way around Alabama. And finally got to my gate. And then we thought that was it. No, they changed me again. Finally, at 10 minutes till 10, we finally boarded. Now, this member, I was supposed to board at 2:30. And 10 till 10, I got in there, got buckled up. I was so comfortable. And I was talking to this elderly lady next to me. And she was coming to visit her sister here. And next thing you know, the pilot gets on the phone, on the intercom, and said, bad news. This flight has been canceled. There will be no flights to Little Rock tomorrow. You have to go to the ticket counter and see what they can do for you. I'm like, really? Oh, no. Everybody, oh, my goodness, everybody got so mad. But I was just like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I don't know what to do. I felt like I was out in the field by myself because all these people, strangers, and you know, and I thought, no, I'm just going to call Philip. So I called him, and he says, Mom, because I said, Philip, my medicine's on my luggage, and I don't have my luggage. My charger's in my luggage, and my phone is down to 20%. And so anyway, I finally got to the counter, and what they could do for me was send me to Chicago. I mean, why do I want to go to Chicago? I said, no, I want to go to Little Rock. And they said, I'm sorry, ma'am, that's the only flight's going out tomorrow if you want to go out tomorrow. When will I get home? Midnight, 12:30. I said, no. Sorry, that's it. Well, Philip called couldn't get a hold of several people, but then Brother Matthew came to the rescue, and they had a deal where they met in Texarkana, and Philip picked me up there, and I came on home, got home at 5 o'clock, I think, in my bed yesterday morning. Oh, it don't work? I guess I have a big mouth. And anyways, it was, I was so thankful to get in my, walk in my door, and I just couldn't thank him enough. But that wasn't the end. I still got to look for my luggage. I kept calling, went to my father-in-law's house because, of course, my phone was dead. My husband had dropped his phone outside. It was wet. So I had to go next door to use my father-in-law's phone. Now, remember, he's got these phones that you can't push one and all that, and you had to. So I'm like, oh, no, I can't get through. So I got his cell phone, and I called the 800 number to look for my luggage, and he has it on. Not vibrant, but silent, where they called me twice, and I didn't hear it. Oh, my goodness, Grandpa, why did you turn the phone off? So I had to turn it on. But then by then, my nephew had come by, and he brought me a charger. I charged my phone, and right away I called the 800 number. They said my luggage would be in Little Rock at 11:15, and they would only hold it for 30 minutes. And I said, well, y'all need to hold it more because I just got to get dressed and get there. It takes me 30 minutes to get there. Well, when I got there, I parked in the no parking space because I thought, I'm not going to go pay $8 to go park. So I said, okay, Lord, you guard my car. Don't let nobody move it. I'm just going to run in. My luggage is going to be there. I trust it's going to be there. And I went to the 1, 2, 3 thing where the luggage are going in circles. And I saw one. I go, oh, it's mine. And this lady goes, here, let me help you, hon. Pulled it out. I said, no, that's not mine. Put it back. Then the second one, he goes, well, what's your name? I said, Fisher. And that one goes, no, that's Mason. Okay, put it back. Finally, that the third time's a charm. It's got to be. Here comes another one. I said, that looks like it. He goes, yes, that's yours. I said, yay. I started jumping up and down. Everybody was like, yay for me. Because some of those people had been over there. I don't know how they got there. But anyway, we felt like a big family. And so I even invited some to church. And so we, I got to, my car was there. They didn't take it away. So I got in and went to my cousin's house because she had some stuff from my aunts to give me. And I'm just so happy. I mean, I haven't, you know, even though I'm tired, I am so thankful. I don't know how to put it in words, y'all. Oh, I've never had that kind of experience before, but I trusted God that he brought me through it. And, you know, I got a ticket to Chicago. Anybody want it? But it's no good anymore now. But anyways, I just love God so much. And I got a good to meet some more people down there. And I was so at odd at my, you know, Brother Hector, a lot of y'all know, all his boys are playing instruments. They're all gigantic. And they just thrilled my heart because I thought, oh, you know, I got to see them, praise God, testify and everything and sing. And it was so, so good to see all them. And Ruth also, the daughter, she's 25 now, and she's praising God and serving him. And anyway, everybody's doing good. Everybody told whoever knew them, tell y'all hi, and the many of you that know them. But anyway, oh, I'm just excited, and I'm thrilled to be a part of the people that you can not just count on God. Well, you can count on God all the time, but you can also count on the family of God. Like I was telling Brother Matthew, I feel so bad him doing this. And he said, no, that's what we're supposed to do. He goes, if Brother Phil, my mother was somewhere where Brother Phil had to help her, I know he would go help her. I said, thank you, Brother Matthew. I said, I'll just adopt you for another son. And he said, I'm ready. He said, I hear you cook some Mexican food. When I come to the youth meeting, I'm expecting some. I said, you got it. So anyway, I'm so thrilled again to be home. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Lord.
Say that was an interesting adventure. I know for my mother, you know, it was a wonderful feeling to be able to call on God's people. And you know, I never had a doubt in my mind in relation to if I knew if I reached out, if I got a hold of someone there in our sister church in Dallas, that I knew would be taken care of. And that's a testament to the body of Christ. You know, how do we know? How did Jesus say they'll know if we're his disciples? By our love one to another. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, you know, I serve the Lord and I'll do this. But when the metal meets the road, or the rubber meets the road, if it's metal, that's what it seemed like the other night. Forget the tire. It was metal. It was metal on asphalt. And it was like, okay, it's okay, Mom. You know, and you don't want to have that attitude of, you know, I think Jesus referred to it might have been Paul, talking about it's one thing, you know, when someone comes to your door and, you know, and they're hungry and that, you know, and you go, well, you know, bless God, I'll pray for you, be filled. No, he said, give them food, you know, help their faith right there. So I was trying to say, okay, Mom, well, you know, look, we're going to figure this out. We're going to get through this. But I couldn't do anything from the standpoint of personally to help her in Dallas right there. So I just appreciate God and his people for this message. You know, it shows, you know, it's doing something in our lives. It's changing the way we handle things when we know that we don't have an answer. We know who does have the answer. When we're having problems, we can just say, Lord, I'm leaning on you. No matter what the situation, no matter what the trial, no matter what the test, whether it's another day that she's lost the cell phone. Hey, you know, that angel's around there. He'll let her know where it's at eventually.
He keeps permanent tabs on that phone. I know that. But I was just thinking about the songs. I really always have appreciated that band number about raising our hands. You know, I mentioned it not too long while back, but it's just something that, you know, truly lifting our hands and praising God, lifting Him up, letting Him know how much He means to us. You know, I was thinking of what has He done in my life? How many times that He has been there for me and my family and my church brothers and sisters? How, you know, I would be so ungrateful if I didn't lift my hands, if I didn't lift Him up, if I didn't praise Him. I was thinking about that word even, praise. You know, there's been a change recently in our sales culture just within the area that I'm a part of at Waste Management. And they are taking a positive step in relation to praise, in relation to appreciation for the people that work for them. I mean, you want to talk about being able to motivate somebody. When you start doing that, it's people start changing their attitude. They start, hey, you know what? Do you mean that they actually appreciate what I did? Wow. Well, you know, I mean, it really does change things a little bit. And I was thinking about that. It lifts up. Well, why it's so important, and this is just something I've been thinking about, to praise the Lord, because it's all Him anyway. He's blessing us each and every day. Well, if I just stop right there and just accept all that, then it starts to turn inward. And what I'm doing is then I start getting a little bit of a proud spirit and say, well, you know, well, yes, look, bless the Lord, look what I've done. Bless God how I've done this and that. But I've got to push on that out and start praising God, because He is worthy of the praise. It's God that has blessed us. It's God that has done these different things that have made it for me. I'll just say, I go to work now and I try every day to say, you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I have this job. I appreciate the opportunity that I have right now to do what I'm doing in this, you know, and I'm enjoying my work again. Go figure on that one, right? I'm developing an attitude of thankfulness, and through it, God is helping to get me through the days. But I was just thinking here as we were singing these songs, you know, Psalm 1, let me see here. I think it's Psalm, this came to my mind, Psalm 149 first. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. You know, we need to have that joy, don't we? We need to have that in our hearts that that affects other people. You know, whenever it's amazing, but so many people will see just when you have that smile on your face. Do you really look around when you're at Walmart or Kroger's or even on the road? Nobody smiles anymore. I mean, on the road, everyone looks like they're about ready to have a nervous breakdown or a stroke. I mean, they're holding the wheel like this, and they're just like, I'm going to work. I don't know, you know. And I'm trying to be that annoying guy. I'm looking over, I'm like, hey, how are you doing? And they're looking at me like, what's wrong with that guy? You know. And so that's a little bit more enjoyment the Lord has given me too. See, it works out all the way around. But, you know, just giving that smile out. You know, wherever I am, if it's on the job, let me tell you, and it's at every workplace, but you can find plenty of, and I don't think, and if y'all forgive me if there are, but it's just, you know, I don't think that any job place is exempt from the negative Nancys, okay? People who, you know, you could say, hey, isn't it a beautiful day? No. Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. There's a cloud somewhere, I think. You know, you just can't help, but you're like, okay, but you know, I've made it a point, and maybe it's because it's still some of that Adamic nature coming out in me, that I'm going to annoy them so much with my joyfulness. I'm just going to see if I can't put a smile on their face in spite of their attitude. And it works. So far, I haven't had anyone throw me out yet. But the thing is, it's what's needed. You know, we have that joy down inside. We have the gift of the Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God welling up. We should have that spirit of, you know what? I'm going to affect you the positive way. I'm going to smile. Why? I'm a child of the King. And guess what? You can be too. Whosoever will. All they have to do is what? Is lift their hands and surrender. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. I'm not worthy, God. I am worthy of death. Whenever I was born in this world, I had the sentence of death on me. But thank the Lord, that sentence is getting commuted today, and I am having life, life more abundantly. If I will just lift Him up, if I will just praise my God with all my heart, and not just with an outward praise with my mouth, but from my life. If my life is a praise to God. But it says in verse 3, let them praise His name in the dance. Brother Weinger, I think about you. I know you want to dance. I know you want to get out there and do that. I know physically you're not able to do that anymore. And that makes me, whenever I start feeling a few aches and pains, it puts me to shame because I'm like, you know what? There are others in here that they want to be able to do that. Well, you know what? While I have the strength in my legs, while I can jump around, Brother Thompson, Brother McGowan, isn't that right? Isn't that right? We should praise Him in the dance. We should lift Him up. We have that opportunity. And I'll say this to the youth. You may not know, if you have been blessed enough to have been born here, you don't know what it's like unless you've visited, when you go to other, we'll say, houses of worship, other places, you don't have that opportunity. You just don't. It's not there. Okay? You go, you sit, you hear, you leave. Okay? Here you have an opportunity to dance for the Lord. What is that? It's an outward expression of our love. It's a way, whenever David was so happy that the ark of God was coming back into Jerusalem, he danced before the Lord with all of his might, praising God. Praising God, why? Because God was coming back into Jerusalem. Hey, God is here today. Where two or three are gathered, He is there also. Are there two or three here today? Well, then we should bless the Lord with all our heart and praise Him. Because God, the everlasting Father, is here. He's in our presence today. I want to lift Him up. I want Him to feel welcome. Hey, you're welcome here, God, in this house of holiness. You are welcome. Come and sup with us. Let the saints, for the Lord taketh pleasure. He taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. I want to have that meek. That humble attitude toward my God. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And you guys know we have this song. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. We have this Word of God. And let me tell you what, it is getting sharper every day because our ministry is ever getting it sharper. We're ever getting more of that truth that someone just recently mentioned. I don't know if it was... Because Brother Fleming was talking about, that truth is so precious. That sword's getting sharper and sharper. And what's that going to be for? To show us more so how we can get that flesh cut away. We can let that new man shine through and get that much closer to our God. Go ahead and go on to verse 9. To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. And then going on to Psalm 150, it's one of my favorites. I mean, it's just, all it's doing is, this is the epitome of the cheerleading psalm. Okay? This is about truly motivation all the way. This is what David's just trying to say, hey, you know what? In everything you have, in everything you do, do what? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Are we in His sanctuary tonight? Have we come in here to pass time? No, we've came in here to get closer to God tonight. We've came up here to lift our hands for Him. We said, Lord, send me, Lord. What do you want from me? Is there someone that I'm going to come in contact with tomorrow that I can lift up, that I can smile at, that I can say, you know what? You're cared for. I was talking to a driver today. I just went out to try to give him some directions because sometimes our dispatch office, they don't know how to do that. And he just starts opening up to me. Man, I've been at the hospital for the whole weekend. My child, he's having seizures. We just found out that it's because of the medication that the doctors put him on. And he just starts going through this litany of things that are going on. And all I could say was, you know what? I'll pray for you, man. I'll pray for you. I didn't even know right then what to say other than, hey, you know what? I don't even know this driver. I mean, literally, I just met him, so I wasn't going to, you know, give him a hug and tell him I love him. You know, we'll let that build the relationship a little bit, okay? But I just want him to know, you know what? I heard you, and I know a man who can. I know a man who can take care of you if you'll just trust in him. And that's all we need to do. On a daily basis, if there's someone that's there, there's so many that we brush up against every day. You just don't know what's going on in their life. Well, you know what? Do we not have a Savior that cares? Do we not have that knowledge? We've been given that truth. We know that we're that. You know what? Let me put that hand out. Because God has done that for me every day. He's all the time lifting me out of the mire and the clay. Well, let me also be that strength to someone else. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. And we can go through the entire Bible and see countless stories and go over them. And it's an awesome history to look at. But praise Him for His mighty acts in your life. Praise Him for the fact that I was born in this and sold it out. And God had mercy on me and opened the door back up and said, you still have an opportunity if you want it. He didn't judge me. He didn't count me for naught. He said, I'll accept you back, son. You were dead, but now you have a chance for life again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you have loved ones that have seen this way or walked this way before? Or have loved ones that haven't quite seen this vision? Let's praise God. Let's lift Him up because we're that light to them. We're that light. And as this world gets darker and darker, what's that going to do to that small, even the smallest candle? You take a small candle, little flame, into a pitch dark black room, what do you got? That light shines. That light, I mean, it's like, you know, people are like, whoa, that's bright, when it's just a small candle. But you know what? We're not just going to be a small candle. We're going to be a bright light for this world because it's getting darker and darker every day. Don't you agree with me on that? This world is getting more and more evil, but that's where this light keeps getting stronger and brighter till we have that sevenfold light. But today is what's important right now. We may not have that perfect sevenfold light right now, but we've got light. And I want to shed that right now. I don't want to cover that up. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And everyone, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. Worthy that all of us can give Him. He is our God and He has given us a chance. And I don't want to count it for naught. So it's not a big deal to get up here and throw myself on this altar and say, praise you, Lord. Praise you for your mighty acts. Praise you for your many blessings. Praise you for the Holy Ghost. Praise you for this wonderful truth that I, Lord willing, with His help, I will not take it for granted again. I love what it's doing in my life, and I want it to do it more so. So I just wanted to get up and lift Him up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful Wednesday. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Praise your mighty name.
greatly to be praised. Let everything praise the Lord. Let everything praise the Lord. Let everything praise the Lord.
God. Well, these brethren have encouraged me tonight. Appreciated their words, encouraging words. And enjoyed Sister Fisher's testimony more than I know she enjoyed, you know, in experiencing it. But I'm glad she's home safe. And this seems like a little copper ring that might go around a napkin or something. It had to be a very little napkin. But maybe it's a child's. It looks like copper. It's got little hash marks on it. Not hashtags, Brother Jerry, but just hash marks. All right. It's up here if you lost it. Let's pray here tonight before we go home. There's several needs. Sister Bryant sick tonight in the bed with her back, and Sister Karen's got sinus trouble going, and Brother Bryant, yes, he's not been feeling well. So let's pray for him too, and it sure is good to have Brother Paul David with us on Wednesday night. I looked and seen him here. I thought, I hope he didn't lose his job. And he just passing through. So we appreciate him being with us. And but we need to pray also for, I don't know how many of you, I think most of you know Brother Minson from the Jacksonville Assembly, Brother Dials. Sister Minson's in the hospital, and they think that she has stage 3 colon cancer. So they're asking us to pray. And what else do we have here tonight, Sister Fisher? Good. Praise God. Let's remember that name, Sister Terry Shelton, unspoken. Good. Yes. Sister Inez, she's still got this one treatment to go. Let's pray. God will help her get through that, Brother Stewart. All right, Brother Dave Ratliff, yes. He's pray for him this evening. Brother Daniels. All right, remember that, Brother Daniels, and then his friend. Let's remember him also, Sister Durham. Terry Durham's father in the Republic, Brother Don Fields. Have they moved him to, not yet, is he still in the hospital? Still in the hospital. Keep praying for him. Thank you. sister Mamie in West Memphis. They'd be going to put stents in tomorrow, so pray for that. All right. Sister Julie. All right. Unspoken need. Pray for my mother also, if you would. She goes up and down, and it can happen so quick. And she gets choked, you know. It just happens, you know. Sometimes when people get older, and it's easy for her to get choked. We have to be really careful with her. So she gets choked. It takes her a while to get over it. It weakens her because she can't. She just keeps coughing, trying to get, you know, whatever she's got down her windpipe back up, and she gets weak. And sometimes she just can't hardly get it up, and just has to. And then that can cause fluid on her lungs and all. So it's a ever going thing. What else? Other needs. Brother and Sister Crowe, yes, let's keep them on our prayer list. Amen. Keep praying for the youth meeting that's coming. It'll be on us before we know it. And I wish you'd help us pray. We were considering adding more air conditioning for our youth meetings, but we had a pretty thorough inspection of our duct system, and they're thinking that we really have the tonnage that we need. It's just we've got really poor ducting, and that we might really already invest in getting that fixed rather than new tonnage. So I don't know. We need to get more. Need to know more on that. But keep praying that God would lead us in the right direction on that. Yeah, they found several problems with it. But anyway, I hate for us to spend money on, you know, new air conditioning, added air conditioning units, when they're saying we've got, I think, 25 tons, don't we, Brother Thompson, in this building. They say that ought to do this. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, thank God for Thompson. He's always been faithful to take care of us. Help us in those areas, and all of you other men that work in so many departments. Keep the maintenance up. We appreciate you so much. Let's stand and ask God to meet these needs. And I know there's other needs. If you just raise your hands, we'll try to remember all the unspoken requests. If the ushers had come, we'll receive an offering this evening. We've got several needs in the Dominican Republic, and I got a call this week from Brother Dykus. They've got an urgent need in Africa that they're asking us to, if we'd contribute on, and I can't hardly say no. When I understand missionary needs that are urgent, so I said, well, we may not be able to do a whole lot, but we'll do something. And you know, if everybody do a little bit, well, the need will get met. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness, your mercy. Oh, God, for your touch, the encouraging touch you gave us here tonight. Lord, we're thankful. God, meet these needs, especially Sister Minson. Lord, touch her. Oh, God, touch her body. Lord, help her. Help her survive this. Give her extended time here on this earth, Lord. Meet these other needs, Lord, that we're mentioned here tonight. Brother Tally's sister. Oh, God, touch her, Lord. Brother Fields in the Republic. Lord, touch him and help him, Jesus. Dear God, help Sister Holly, Lord, with her situation. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All these needs, Sister Inez, God, keep touching her. Oh, God. You're the Lord that inhabits the praise of Israel, Jesus. We have a reason to praise you. Because you hear our prayers. You've been mindful of us, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for being mindful of us. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed Jesus, blessed Lord. Brother and Sister Crow, Jesus, touch them. Help them, oh, God. Make their days lighter, oh, God. Help them, Lord. Give them good days ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, God blesses you. As you give.
Oh, I praise Him, I praise Him, praise His holy name. He leads me day by day.
Hold on. There's exciting times coming for the body of Christ in the days ahead. Hallelujah. keep your faith for that. Shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you Sunday morning.
Just want to remind everyone that we'll be camping out at Lake Sylvia Friday night out off Highway 9. And then also, Special Olympics is next Thursday if you're interested in going to that with us. We'll want to leave Little Rock probably around 5:30-ish. So if you're interested in going to Special Olympics, then get a hold of me or Brother Brett Weiniger. That's next Thursday.